a knock on the door.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This is one of those songs that I feel like is way older than just 6 years ago. I feel like I've been hearing this song for years and years. Like, if you had told me 2011, I probably would have believed it. 2016 is Throwback Thursday. On this date, Kevin Durant said, "Hey, I'm going to Golden State. Might as well join a winner. Say, ain't going to with Oklahoma City. If you can't beat them, join them." And we couldn't beat them. So he joined them, and they did win two finals. And he did win two MVPs in the finals. But he changed the legacy image that he had. Great player, one of the best all time. But he went from a guy that was very likable to villain in a very short decision by going to the Golden State Warriors. So we honor that. There was a number of one that we could pick. One of them that we almost had, and again, we were kind of tossing some of these back and forth, like we always do every single week. There was 1977, going a little pop culture, James Bond, Spy Who Loved Me, and then also 2001, where Dale Earnhardt Jr. won at Daytona months after his father had crashed and died at the 500 back earlier in February. But the big story yesterday was Baker Mayfield getting traded to the Carolina Panthers. So let's get the Carolina side of this deal from Josh Klein, joins us from Riot Report as we take a look at this deal from, again, the Carolina Panthers perspective. How are you, Josh? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, man.
And Josh is on our progressive guest line. All right, so this seems like a good deal for the Panthers. They didn't have to give up much to get them, but what does this do for their quarterback depth chart? What do they have as they go into camp in a couple weeks?
Well, I mean, they did a lot of work on the rest of the roster over the course of the offseason. Obviously, they added a big left tackle with the number six pick in Ikemekwunnu. They upgraded their offensive line at other spots, which was a huge problem for them last year. They re-signed DJ Moore. You know, obviously, if Christian McCaffrey can play 17 games, that'll be a huge boon for this offense. They added some names on defense as well. So this is a young team that's getting better. And kind of the biggest issue that they had on the roster was at that quarterback spot. So obviously, they felt like they wanted to address it. They made a move for the future, at least they say they did, by trading up in the third round for Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. And when you add a guy like Baker Mayfield, you know, this is a proven veteran quarterback that proves that he can get it done on the field. And Sam Darnold was, you know, not to pull any punches, Sam Darnold was really, 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 really bad last year. Mm-hmm. For the time that he was here. Cam Newton added some fun and excitement to the offense and certainly to the fan base, but wasn't that much better. And so, you know, if you can get an average season, Matt Rhule and the rest of this coaching staff are hoping that he can play well enough to save Matt Rhule's job, because Matt Rhule is firmly on the hot seat after 2 5-win seasons, and he needed somebody that could win not only now this season, but early in the season in order to keep his job.
Carolina had always been in the mix here. Every discussion that people had about Baker Mayfield in a landing spot always centered around the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, there was Seattle and a couple of other teams with some feelings, but mostly it was centered on Carolina. How badly did they want to get this deal done?
Yeah, I mean, everybody that I would ever talk to over since basically since April has been saying that it's a question of when, not if, for Baker Mayfield coming to Carolina, and they managed to get it done. It's a combination, kind of a sliding scale of picks versus money that the Browns wanted, and the Panthers wanted the Browns to pay some of Baker's salary. Baker ended up paying giving back three and a half million of that salary himself, so that he could get this deal done after talking to Matt Rhule and Scott Fitterer last week, or earlier this week, to kind of figure out what it might look like for him to rejuvenate his career here in Carolina and really be on a prove-it contract. I mean, he only has 1 year left on his deal. If he goes out there and is able to lead the Panthers to, you know, 9, 8, 10 wins and take them to the playoffs, he's going to be in line for a huge deal because he's still young. So, you know, on its surface, when you look at this deal in a vacuum, trading a conditional fifth-round pick that will almost certainly translate into a fourth-round pick barring injury for a guy like Baker Mayfield, for a starting quarterback in the NFL, a top 15, top 12 quarterback in the NFL, depending on how you want to rate him, probably top 15, that's a good deal in a vacuum. Now, when you zoom out a little bit and realize that this is the third quarterback in 3 years for the Carolina Panthers that they've made a move to go and get and then moved on from the next offseason, maybe it looks like, you know, things are a little bit more complicated, but on its surface, the Baker Mayfield trade certainly seems like a good transaction for the Panthers.
Was it surprising the cost of this? This was a 2024 fourth or fifth round pick. Again, a lot of the money is not being paid by Carolina on this deal. Look, we've seen deals go for a lot for quarterbacks. The Darnold deal was more expensive for Carolina than this one. Was that a surprise?
I don't think it was a surprise. I think, you know, I think there was a lot of voices around the NFL that said, you know, the Browns made their bed here by basically disowning themselves from Baker Mayfield, who was number one pick last year. Make them release him. Like, yeah. Don't bail them out by trading them anything. And the Panthers ultimately didn't want to wait for that to happen and have Baker get to make a decision where he could go anywhere in the NFL. They needed another quarterback to compete, and I'm putting quotes around compete because they keep saying that Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield will be competing in training camp, and I'm sure they will. And I mean, Baker Mayfield's going to win that competition. So I think the price was not too surprising. I wouldn't have been surprised if it ended up being a seventh round pick. I think if the Browns had been willing to pay another couple million dollars, it may have been a seventh round pick versus a fifth round pick.
Now, Josh Klein joining us, Riot Report on Carolina Panthers, again, acquiring Baker Mayfield. Let's go back to what you were talking about earlier. Just give us a perspective of where this team has been in the quarterback carousel, if you will. From Teddy Bridgewater to Darnold to bringing back Cam Newton, starting with Cam Newton, and then now going with Sam, you know, back to Sam, you know, Darnold, now Baker Mayfield. They haven't been able to land it. The quarterback situation over the last couple of years, how has that kind of affected the team and their success? When you have a guy like Christian McCaffrey that can win you some games, they haven't been able to land the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the indecision and the poor decisions at quarterback have made this team what they are. And will ultimately, or, you know, whether it's going to happen or not, have ultimately doomed Matt Rhule for the first 2 years. That inability to stick with one quarterback and to continually reset at the quarterback position, something that works in college, which was obviously where Matt Rhule was from, but in the NFL, when Matt Rhule was first hired, Cam Newton, obviously stalwart quarterback, had faced a bunch of injuries. They realized that he was not going to be healthy enough to provide that stability at the quarterback position. They move on from Cam Newton. They bring in Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater plays exactly like Teddy Bridgewater has played for his entire career, like an NFL average quarterback. They say that's not good enough at the end of the season. So they trade three picks for Sam Darnold, which in hindsight was a terrible decision that is going to likely cost somebody their job in the future. And they trade Teddy Bridgewater basically for a sixth round pick. They pay most of his salary. They bring in Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is fine for three games and then does Sam Darnold things, makes bad decisions, throws interceptions. They bring back Cam Newton for the final eight games of the season. They end up benching Cam Newton for a returning Sam Darnold. And then this offseason, they tried their darndest to get Deshaun Watson for the second offseason in a row, were rejected by Deshaun Watson, then said, okay, well, who's the next available quarterback that we can bring in? It's Baker Mayfield. Not to mention, last offseason, they got rejected by Matt Stafford. So they have been pining and begging for another quarterback to come in here, because ultimately they realize that they need an elite quarterback to succeed. They just keep striking out on the elite quarterbacks, and they keep bringing in the second tier and then moving on from them after a year. So they just keep investing more and more and more assets into the quarterback position with really nothing to show for it. Right now, the quarterbacks in their room are Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, P.J. Walker, and Matt Corral, and they have traded a second, third, two fourths, a fifth, and a sixth for that quarterback room.
Wow. We were discussing this earlier, and, you know, again, we get it that at the beginning of the season when you try to make predictions, there's always teams that will surprise you, and then there'll be teams that will disappoint you. Some teams come out of nowhere. But in the end, is this team a playoff team that needs a quarterback that's good? Do they need a quarterback to be a superstar to be a playoff team? What's around the quarterback, and is it enough that if you get just good, solid play, could they make the playoffs?
I said this 2 days ago, and I am not sure that anything has changed. If the Panthers if their young defense can make a bit of a jump and stay healthy, and Christian McCaffrey can play 15 games, This team can certainly play, can certainly make a play for the playoffs, and that doesn't change whether it's Sam Darnold under center or Baker Mayfield. They need Christian McCaffrey to play almost the entire season and stay healthy for this team to be successful. He is the hinge that this season rotates around. Not Baker Mayfield, not Sam Darnold. It is Christian McCaffrey. They're paying him $23 million this year. And he is the crux of this offense. Ben McAdoo is building his entire offense around Christian McCaffrey because, let's face it, when healthy, Christian is the best running back in the league, in my opinion. And he just hasn't been healthy the past 2 years. So they need him to be healthy. You cannot have the best player and the most important player on your entire team miss 11 games and go to the playoffs. So that's the key to their season, not necessarily this Baker Mayfield trade that is going to get all of the attention, especially week one when Cleveland comes to town.
Absolutely. Josh Klein, again, a Riot Report on the Carolina Panthers out of Charlotte. Really appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope to catch you during our previews coming up next month.
Absolutely. All right,
thank you.
Thanks
so much, man. Appreciate it. You can find him on Twitter at Josh Klein Rules, which is pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome Twitter handle. Better than Tony D Radio, which is boring. All right, that's his thoughts on the Carolina Panthers. Really interesting because, again, we all do predictions, right? We all think we have an idea of how the season should go for everybody. And we know in the end there'll be teams that'll come out of nowhere and have a great season. We didn't think Arizona would get off to the amazing start that they did when they were one of the best teams in the NFL with their record at the beginning of the year. It lasted all the way through to the middle of the year before things started going sideways. So we always know that there's surprise teams and there are teams that will disappoint and whatnot. But as we were saying earlier, if you were to just take the top of the divisions in the NFC, if you take the expected division winners, right, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Green Bay, and then probably the LA Rams, if you take them out and then you're left with Arizona, San Francisco, possibly Philadelphia, possibly New Orleans, why can't the Carolina Panthers be in that 5-6 team mix for three playoff spots? Like, I don't think maybe the Bears have a better season. I doubt it. I don't know. I think they're probably 500. Detroit's still rebuilding. I'm not going to buy into Minnesota again like we seem to always do every single year. And then the Eagles, all right, I'll throw them in there. They're expected to be a lot better. They were a playoff team last year. All right, okay. But the reality of it is he's correct. If Christian McCaffrey's healthy, you don't need Baker Mayfield to play like Josh Allen. Right? You don't. If Baker Mayfield is playing like Baker Mayfield did in 2020, the latter half of 2020, and McCaffrey's healthy for 17 games, that's a playoff team. That's a playoff offense. No, not a Super Bowl team. No, not a team that is going to go 13-4 or 14-3. No. But if you're looking at 10 wins, get me to that spot. 9-10 wins, and let's see how it shakes out for a wild card. A healthy Christian McCaffrey and a solid year from Baker Mayfield. Nothing crazy. Nothing awesome, but nothing ridiculously bad. They're a playoff team.
And you know what I found alarming, too? Is like, I mean, obviously he's a Panthers fan.
Right.
Right? But he's not even... It didn't even cross his mind that Christian McCaffrey can play a whole season.
Yeah, right.
He was like, man, if we could just get 14, 15 games out of him.
Without question. Yeah, he's 100% right.
17? That's unrealistic.
17, forget it. Let's throw that out of the window.
Now, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a deal. But yeah. But again, if they were in the AFC, I'd be like, man, that's a mountain to climb, man, because there's a whole bunch of good teams in the AFC right now. But in the NFC, there's four really good ones that win the division, and then everybody else is kind of hovering. Yeah, the 49ers should maybe have a pretty good season, but that's one of the, and you still got two other wild card teams left. No, I don't see this being a franchise changing move. No, there's no question about that. But I also don't see it as, well, you know, but I also, you know, I don't see it as that, but I also don't see it. I mean, I rephrase it. I kind of see it as could be better, could be a little better. And if they might, again, if McCaffrey's healthy, might make a push. Yeah. But it's not groundbreaking by any means. All right. On Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver, that's Ron with two N's. We continue with Wake Up Call.